If you have a Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, as we continue our series of Christmas messages from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully to God's word. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. There is an old saying about the new addition of a baby to the family, and it goes something like this: baby is king. I think that we all know, those of us who have had children and little babies in the house, know what that means. Life in some way really does change when a baby is brought home from the hospital, because it becomes the center of everything that goes on in that home. When it cries, everything stops. When it's wet, everything stops. Whatever its needs are, life becomes focused around that baby. Baby is king. Well, there is one baby who is and was not only king of the house, but also king of the universe. And that was baby Jesus. And we're going to consider this morning the fact that everything that God thought of to say in the Bible, the book that spans the beginning of time, dating with Abraham in 2000 BC, going all the way through the coming of Christ, everything in the Scripture centers around this one child, this one baby, and what he would become, and what he would do for mankind. Baby is king. And King Jesus is the center of everything that God had to say. Christ is the theme of the entire Bible. Christ is the theme of the entire Bible. There is a story in Luke 24 that is one of my favorite Bible stories. Being at the end of the chapter, I bet some of you already know what it is. It is the account of the two disciples walking on Sunday afternoon back to their village to Emmaus. They had heard about the resurrection, but they didn't believe it. And who do you suppose came strolling up behind these two depressed, discouraged disciples but the Lord Jesus himself? And he explained to them and asked them what was going on. And they said, well, we had hoped in Jesus, but he died. And some people said he was resurrected, but you know how stories go. And then Jesus began to explain all the things concerning himself. And this is what verse 27 says. And beginning with Moses, listen to this. Moses meant the first five books of the Bible. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all of the things concerning himself. So if you go to just one part of the Bible thinking that Jesus is here and he's not in the other part, then you couldn't be more wrong. You see, Jesus Christ, this child, was and is the center, the theme of the entirety of Scripture. There's another incident that's very similar to this, and it happened to Philip, who later became a deacon in the church. Philip was traveling on the road and met an Ethiopian eunuch. This Ethiopian eunuch was reading, in fact, from the book of Isaiah. He was reading chapter 53, and he came upon a certain part that he did not understand in chapter 53. For example, in verse 4, it says, surely he took our infirmities. It's talking about the child to come. And carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and with his wounds we are healed. Well, as the Ethiopian eunuch was reading this, Philip came up alongside his chariot and he said, do you know and understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And then Acts 8:35 says that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus unto him. So that the Bible, the entirety of the Bible, has one focus and one center, and that is this child, who he was and what he would become. The Bible is a Christocentric book. Everything in the Bible receives its structure from the promise of the coming of Jesus Christ. He is there. Genesis 3:15 is called the proto-evangel or the pre-gospel, because as early as the book of Genesis, right after the fall of man, God promised that he was going to send a Savior, that the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. Do you know what that is? That is the prophecy right there in Genesis, and it is like an acorn planted. The acorn isn't the main thing. The acorn is to become an oak. And so the promise in Genesis 3:15 is to become the oak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the whole Bible is about that theme, is about that subject, is about that child. Everything in it. I like the children's song that I heard them singing in Westminster School. This past year, it was, I am a promise, a potentiality. I am a promise. Wow, what a beautiful, I agree with that. I think God agrees with that. And the attitude and the perspective of these children, I am a promise. But how much more can it be said of the Lord Jesus Christ? I am a promise. And the promise, dear friend, that was made to you in Genesis 3:15 is a promise that God followed all the way through until the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible is about one subject. The Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the theme of the entire Bible. Whether you talk about the law, whether you talk about the history, whether you talk about the prophecy, whether you talk about the praise, whether you talk about the wisdom, if in reading Proverbs or Psalms you do not see Jesus Christ, you have missed it. If in reading the history of the Old Testament, you do not see the promise in its progress, then you have missed God's purpose. I said that Christ is the theme of the entire Bible, and I want to say, secondly, that Christ was prophesied specifically in Isaiah, in other passages, but as we're considering Isaiah, in particularly Isaiah, prophecy, I might say, has a twofold meaning. Normally, we think of a prophet as one who simply predicts things to come. But in the Bible, prophecy can either mean a forthtelling, that is, a declaration of God's will, but on the other hand, it also means a foretelling. Well, in the case of Isaiah, we have some foretelling in specific ways of the coming of Christ. We believe and see that the Messiah was prophesied in Isaiah and in other portions. By the way, the term Messiah is a Greek word, Mashiach, and it means anointed or anointed one. The word in the Greek New Testament from the Hebrew Messiah is the Greek word Christos or Christ. So in the Old Testament, he is called Messiah. In the New Testament, he is called Christ in the Greek. But we're talking about the same person. He is the anointed one of God. Christ is prophesied throughout the Bible in many different ways. He is there in what are called types. You see, Adam was a type of Christ. Read Romans 5. There is the first Adam who was the first man, and then there is the second Adam, and that was Jesus Christ. The first Adam was a type of Christ in that the first Adam represented the entire human race. What happened to him? He sinned. What happened to the human race? It sinned in the first Adam, and the human race fell out of its perfect state and condition. And therefore, when you and I are born today, we're born, as the older theologians called, into original sin.
You're born with a propensity toward evil and not toward good, because your heart has a tendency to sin because of Adam and your sin in him. But then there is the second Adam. I said that the first Adam was a type of the second Adam. The second Adam, the Bible tells us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He also represented the human race. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was a man. He lived a perfect life of obedience, and then he died a substitutionary death that those in the human race who by faith and repentance trust him will become like him. So we have the choice. We can either be like the first Adam and remain in sin, or we can be like the new Adam. A new man, created in the image of Jesus Christ. We can be the new people that God intends us to be in Christ if we will trust Him as our Savior. The first one was the type, and Christ was the real thing. Well, we could go on with the figures in the Old Testament. There was Moses, who was a type of Christ. There was David, who was a type of Christ. There was the servant of the Lord, as we see prophesied, the seed of the woman. Sometimes even events in the Old Testament were prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ. For example, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, we read that when the Israelites were traveling through the wilderness, remember, they were always complaining about this or that, or they were thirsty, or they were hungry. And at one point, Moses had to strike a rock in order for water to gush out of the rock to satisfy the Israelites, the children of Israel. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:4 says that Christ was the rock. Isn't that interesting? In other words, that it is Jesus Christ who alone satisfies the needs of His people. There was Christ in the Old Testament at the Passover when the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt. The angel of death passed over the land of Egypt. And the Israelites were told that before the angel passed over to sprinkle blood over the lintels, over the doorpost of their home. And when the angel saw the blood, then the angel would pass over that home and go to the next. And the firstborn of a home that did not have the blood died. Do you see the symbolism? Do you see the type? Do you see Jesus Christ is our Passover sacrifice? That if you are under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are cleansed and you are purified and you are protected and you will never have to experience eternal death because of Him. What a mind. What a creative, original, incredible mind that has created the story of man and focused it upon Jesus Christ. Well, Christ was prophesied in Isaiah. He is the theme of the entire Bible. And thirdly, Christ fulfilled the prophecies of those messianic foretellings in Isaiah. He is called the Anointed One. He was the Messiah that is spoken of in the Old Testament. When our Lord in Luke chapter 4 went into a synagogue, He read
from Isaiah chapter 61. And chapter 61 starts out this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was reading this in Isaiah 61 in the synagogue. And then he closed the scroll from which he was reading. And he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying, I am the Messiah. The day has dawned. The light has come. Darkness has been dispelled. The prophecies are about to be fulfilled. I am He. The same was true when Jesus had a conversation with the woman of Samaria. Beautiful story in John chapter 4. The woman of Samaria finally confessed after their little interchange about her having five husbands. She said, we know that the Messiah is coming. She being a Samaritan. We know that the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, I that speak to thee am He. How can it get any plainer? Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. He is the center, not just to the New Testament. He is the center of the Old Testament. Do you see it? In Isaiah, we find what the Messiah would do. We just read from Isaiah 61, it says, I have come, Jesus, in reading Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in order to preach good news. You know what that word is in the New Testament? It's gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel. But the significant insight about Jesus preaching the gospel is that He Himself is the gospel. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or Mark chapter 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Christ not only preached it, but He Himself is that gospel. And what is the effect of that gospel upon you? We read in Isaiah 9, chapter 2, where it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. In other words, the effect of the gospel upon you and upon me is that the light of Christ is to dawn upon your heart and upon mine. And I want to ask you, this morning, as you're sitting here in a comfortable, warm sanctuary, can you say that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has enlightened your heart? Or are you still sitting in darkness, the land of the shadow of death, waiting for salvation? Well, why not make this the great Christmas, the greatest Christmas yet, when you put your faith in Christ, when you repent of your sins, and when you allow the gospel, the light of the gospel, to shine into your heart? Will you? Will you? Will you allow the gospel light to shine in you? Let's pray.